Shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendrick.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And, of course, we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. Now, you know that we are on our website on Phil TV and HD, so you can get a backstage pass and join us for our video casts. And we do Q&As on our video cast occasionally. We're going to do one this Friday night following the show. So following our broadcast this coming Friday night, at 1 a.m., that would be 1 a.m. technically early Saturday morning, we're going to do a question and answer Q&A on our website and here on Phil TV and HD. So get your backstage pass and join us for that. We are also going to be here for the Super Bowl. Phil will be, you know, we call it Sunday Football with Phil, and we'll be here for the Super Bowl, so we'll watch the ball game with you. And it will be perhaps during that game, but we've gotten an awful lot of requests that we may actually either crack a cold one or bring out the Don Julio. So we'll see. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Stephen Bozell, who is a contributor to our program in a variety of ways having to do with news, employment, as well as family, is joining us this hour. And we're going to talk about Facebook and what Facebook's IPO, that is initial public offering, and really what Mark Zuckerberg being back in the news means to the average person, to the average man. Stephen Bozell has instituted the beginning steps of a lawsuit, not against Mark Zuckerberg, but against the San Jose Mercury News and other newspapers, other publications and news websites for reporting the news and reporting about Mr. Zuckerberg the way they do. It's a very, very fascinating story, and let's bring on now from Corona, California, Steve Bozell, a father of two, a husband, the owner of his own construction company, and as I found out talking to you in our pre-interview this evening, Steve, you were raised in a two-parent home, obviously, but it was your mother who got you into the construction business.
Yes, sir. That is absolutely correct.
Your mother was the one who had the construction business?
My mother started out, she had a roofing business, and she went into general, she had a general contractor license, and I worked for my mother through high school.
Oh, and what did your dad do?
My father was my father was a bartender. He worked briefly at two restaurants, one of the country clubs in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, which is where I grew up, and another country club outside of Knoxville, and worked at Mosby's, which is a steakhouse in Knoxville.
And would you say that your mother was the breadwinner?
Well, I would say my mother probably earned most of the money, yeah. But I you know, talk about that, I don't really talk, you know, a lot about it, because people will tend to make a big deal out of somehow that's going to affect, you know, whether I'm a man or not. And I don't like to...
Have people... Are you telling me people question your manhood because you learned your construction trade?
Well, no, I mean, I don't. It's funny what people will do. I just want people to know that I have, you know, I'm in my family, I'm the man, and I don't want anybody thinking that's not the case. And certainly, with a story like this story about Facebook and Mr. Zuckerberg, it tests, I think, every man. In the world, it tests your own personal capacity to stand up like a man and be counted. And it tests just how, you know, tall and straight and strong you can stand when you're in the face of this kind of thing that you see. I have always...
All right, well, let me interrupt you here. You have taken exception to a San Jose Mercury article about Mark Zuckerberg. And you've also proposed, have you talked to your attorney? I don't really know what it is you want to do.
Well, what we're asking them to do is to simply strike the sentence from their story, to print a retraction, and to reprint the story, striking the phrase. And the phrase is, referring to Mark Zuckerberg, a college dropout, 27 years old, brings Wall Street to its knees.
Now, what are you finding fault about that?
Well, Mr. Henry, I'm pushing 40. I'm 39 years old. I'm going to be 40 this June. And I worked very hard in my life, and I've got a little bit. I don't probably don't have as much as some, but I know now at this point in my life, I'm never going to have, you know, that kind of money. And when they say, you know, a college dropout at 27 brings a Wall Street to its knees, there's a flip side to that. What they're saying basically is, what are you? You know, you're nothing. You know, and...
Well, look, I don't know that they're saying that.
Absolutely. See, there's the in law, and I was told by Ms. Blasingame, who's my attorney, Dolores Blasingame, in law they recognize something called negative evidence, or the lack of evidence being proof. What's unspoken there is that I'm a loser, that you're, you know, I don't know about you, but what's unspoken there individually for me is they're telling me I'm a loser. And they're telling every man listening to your broadcast right now that they're losers. And
so the lawsuit is what?
Well, the lawsuit is asking for a retraction.
Well, are they going to retract by stating we are sorry?
We would simply ask them to take that phrase out of the story and to reprint the story in a more respectful way to do it, instead of printing a story that it reminds me, when I read that line, a college dropout, 27 years old, he brings Wall Street to his knees, it reminds me of every failure that I've ever done.
I can tell that there's a little bit of emotion in your voice.
Yes, sir.
And that this is a story that is something very personal for you, isn't it?
I think it's personal for any man, Mr. Henry, to read about some, you know, I mean, essentially, some punk who got a idea and now he's got millions and millions. And I've worked my whole life trying the very best that I can. And I would have to, I mean, I would probably take a job working for this guy as a driver, because he could probably pay me money that I would think is good money. I mean, that's the part that hurts me more than anything.
You're going to have to run that by me again.
I'm simply saying the kind of salary that this guy could pay, I would probably quit my job today and work, you know, as a houseboy.
As a houseboy. So you think that Mark Zuckerberg has that kind of, well, obviously he has the kind of bread to have houseboys or butlers or whatever, but do you think he's going to pay enough money to a houseboy that would rival what you make as the owner of your company?
In the middle of this recession? Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Well, what do you think millionaires pay houseboys?
Well, I can tell you that I know that some domestic staff in many homes that are you know, well-to-do, they make upwards of six figures a year, without any low six figures a year. You know, personal assistant, that kind of thing. And my wife, when I told her I was coming on your program, and I talked to Dolores, she'd asked me who I was calling. I said, I'm calling Dolores Blasingame. She got angry because my wife has a great deal of hatred for Dolores Blasingame, which is a whole area that I'd like to touch on with you sometime.
All right.
But I said to her that, you know, I'm going to go on the Phil Henry show. And she said to me, are you going to talk about Zuckerberg? She said, yeah. She said, you mean the man, you know, that you could be a houseboy for? And I said,
go ahead.
I said to her, boy, that hurt.
I don't think that your wife said you could be a houseboy for Mark Zuckerberg because that came to her mind spontaneously. I think she thought that because that's what you had, you know, said.
Well, no, there's no question I put that in her mind. But my whole point is this. This man, Manuel Enrique of Palo Alto Hercules, he said that this is a tectonic shift in the history of capitalism and that Mark Zuckerberg, a college dropout, 27 years old, brings Wall Street to its knees, and that's like saying that Steve Bozell, Phil Henry, or whoever out there in your listening in the listening area are losers and are no, you know, I mean, I've worked my whole life. I worked my whole life. I ain't never going to have any. Well, he has.
All right, so, and that's very true, and I won't either, sir. So let's just put that.
Well, and that doesn't bother you.
No, it doesn't bother me. Would I like to have that kind of bread? Sure. I mean, you know, what bread to me represents is the ability to do stuff. If you have a lot of money, you can do a lot of things. You can, there's a lot of things you can do. But be that as it may, we have to work with the resources we have, you know.
I'm asking you a straight question. Wouldn't you like to have that kind of money?
Yes. The answer is absolutely yes.
Well, Mr. Henry, you're older than me. Don't you go to bed at night thinking... looking at yourself, what a loser?
No, sir, I try not to look at myself and say, what a loser. You know, I've got a good life, I've got a good career, I make a good dollar, I'm not, you know...
Well, but don't you have to say that on account of you being on the radio?
No, I don't have to say anything I don't want to say. I'm saying you're bringing a legal action against a newspaper for printing the line, 27 years old, he brings Wall Street to his knees because that makes you look like a loser, you think, and all of my other listeners, and I believe that you may be overreacting to that.
No, I'm not overreacting to that. If you look at... Forget it.
No, not forget it. We have another minute.
Well, if you just look at on the surface, I'm working my whole life, and this Zuckerberg has... He has more money. He's got more money than any man I've ever heard about. And...
All right, I tell you what, let me take a break here, Steve.
No, but...
Hold on for a minute. Let's take a break. 877-876-7445. Mark Zuckerberg, to quote the San Jose Mercury News... A college dropout, 27 years old, brings Wall Street to its knees. That's an impressive statement, isn't it? It's an impressive thing. And Mr. Enriquez, the man who said that, also said it is a tectonic shift in the history of capitalism, this initial public offering by Facebook to raise $5 billion. We'll be right back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-7445. We're here every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. We're on Saturday nights for our local show, and you can watch us on Phil TV and HD on our website, philhendryshow.com. We are also at Twitter, at twitter.com/realphilhendry. That's my personal account over there. And then we have twitter.com/philhendryshow. And if you want to visit us over at Facebook, we're all over that too, facebook.com/philhendryfans, spelled PHANS. Stephen Bozell joining us here from Corona, California, as we discuss Mark Zuckerberg's IPO, $5 billion he's hoping to raise. None of that bothers you, Steve, right?
Well, it doesn't bother me, Mr. Hendry. I realize that's the nature of the beast. I realize that in a capitalistic society, there's always going to be somebody who's going to have more money and is going to be better looking and, you know, I'll go out, take my wife to a restaurant, and no matter how hard I work, no matter how, you know, much I maybe buy good clothes or I try to take a shower and put on good cologne or however, there's going to be a guy in the restaurant, you know, who's more, I don't know how you want to put it, more endowed.
All right, okay, so what's this got to do with...
Well, I'm just saying, you know, for them to put it into print the way they did, okay, it's one thing to say the man did a good thing. Now they're saying he's 27 years old, he brings Wall Street to its knees. That is a direct threat to me and to every man that's not, you know, any kind of a genius when it comes to business, makes us look like losers. And I would simply like the San Jose Mercury News to recant that and to take it out.
Take that statement out.
Yes, sir.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number. I'm going to go over to a phone call here. We have Ken on the line. Ken, you're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Stephen Bozell. Go ahead, sir.
Yes. I don't have a problem with Zuckerberg and no one else in America who catches an idea and turns it into a profit. You know, America is built off capitalism. Now, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to get off the line, because I know you don't have a lot of time for everybody. Somewhere along the line, this guy in California, someone has told him that he's nothing but a loser, and he's bought into that all his life. There's no way in the world dude should be thinking about he's a loser. He owns his own construction company. Come on, guy. You're not a loser.
Yes, sir, I do. I do, sir, but here's the thing. I make, you know, a good amount of money, but here comes this guy, Zuckerberg, who's 27 years old. He's single. That means he's got, I mean, you know it. Don't you understand what I'm saying?
Listen. No, I don't get it. Listen to me. I don't get it, okay?
Oh, my God.
I don't have as much money as you do. I drive a truck for a living. I make an okay living. I put an ex-wife through college. I put my son through school, okay? I'm single now.
Yeah.
I'm a girlfriend, but I'm not trying to be rich. Rich is not in my timeline in my life. Some of us will be rich. Some of us won't. Just do what you do. You are what you are. It is what it is.
I mean, that's pretty good advice, Steve.
Well, I know, but every time I open up a newspaper, and I see the name, and there it is, Mark Zuckerberg, and he's single, and he's going to have $5 billion, that means pretty much any kind of, any kind of poon.
And all right, okay. I don't know what you're saying there.
I cut the word in half. But he can get, if I can just say, he can get any kind of poon he wants.
All right, I understand. Any woman that he wants. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, sir.
Just say woman.
Mark Zuckerberg is a little 27-year-old punk kid who has got gonna have $5 billion, haul the poon, and I think it's unfair. And I said so.
And you want the San Jose Mercury News to take the phrase out, he's brought Wall Street to its knees?
Yes, sir, I do. And I'll tell you something else. That gentleman that I spoke, that was a good man, you know.
Yes, he was a very good man, and he had very, very sound advice.
Yes. And I know he believes what he says, but I just think if you have been eating cat meat your whole life, you think...
Oh, I get it. So that guy's been eating cat meat his whole life, huh?
If you eat stir-fried cat, well, you're not going to... Are you going to complain?
If it's all I know, I guess, no, I won't complain.
That's my point.
And, Steve, how do you know you're not eating stir-fried cat, and that gentleman that just called is eating beef bourguignon, or he's eating filet mignon?
Well, I don't even know what that is. What do you mean, beef? I don't. No one's ever heard of that.
Okay, great. 877-876-PHIL. I think that man hit the nail on the head. You've been called a loser your whole life. Here is Joe on the Phil Hendry Show. Joe, go ahead.
I just want to say, I'm just sitting here driving down the road with a semi. I just want to tell a guy, quit beating yourself up. You know, riches ain't going to make you happy. You know, I make good money, but I've got family that live in Knoxville that are multimillionaires, and they got more problems than anybody I know. And I just think that this guy is beating himself up and think you got to cause a lawsuit and just live your life and be happy.
Don't you think that when we see a chance in life, that we ought to stand our ground and just say, you know, you can't just go throwing some guy's money up in my face?
It was an article in a paper. I don't see how they're throwing anything in your face. You know, I don't see how they're throwing anything. Yeah. You know what I'm saying, Steve?
No, I don't know what you're saying. I don't know what you're saying, because I know it doesn't bother this gentleman, but I'm saying to you, sir, and I'm saying to all the men out there, we need to be bothered when some newspaper says, look at this kid, 27-year-old, just a bunch of losers.
No, they're not saying that. They're reporting the business news. All right, listen, thank you very much for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL, as we talk about Mark Zuckerberg and the fact that one of the quotes says that he's 27 years of age, he's a college dropout, he's brought Wall Street to its knees. And Mr. Bozell, a construction contractor in Corona, California, would like that quote taken from the article. He says it insults and demeans every man who reads it and calls the rest of us losers. 877-876-PHIL. What do you think? The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Oh, man, would you please listen to me?
All right, we're back here with Stephen Bozell from Corona, California, as we talk about a line in the San Jose Mercury newspaper of today, a line describing Mark Zuckerberg, the young man who founded Facebook, who at the age of 27, and this is the quote, at the age of 27, a college dropout, he has brought Wall Street to its knees. He's quite the success story. And Mr. Bozell, you don't like that line. You find it humiliating. You find it, you think that it humiliates not just you, but every man that reads it. You think it basically screams to every guy that reads it, you're a loser.
Yes, sir, and I also, the inherent statement that it does not deal with, and that is, it's saying, basically, you know, this kid can get any, I mean, I don't want to put it in any way that would be not, you know, family friendly or anything, but it's basically saying this kid can get any kind of tail that he wants.
You could just say woman, any kind of...
Yeah, I'm sorry. And I think that hurts more than anything.
Why does that hurt more than anything?
I mean, to have so much money that all you got to do is just say to any woman you see, you know, get over here. I mean, I don't want to disrespect no women. And
so you think women, there is a point where you have so much money, there isn't a woman that you would see that wouldn't want to be with you. So in other words, married women, women that are in love with their men. You think there's a point?
Yes, sir, I do. And Mr. Renner, I respect women more than any man. I dare say any man you can think of. But, you know, there was a great line in a movie that I heard one time where the man said, you know, given the right time and the right place, a woman will do anything. I mean, she will do anything. And
boy, you got a lot of respect for women then, huh?
Well, I'm not saying that's...
You're not saying that's bad, huh? So, with enough money, no matter who, a man can have any woman he wants.
God help me for saying it, but yes. God forgive me.
All right. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Here is James. James, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, sir. Is this James or Land? Whoever. Who is this?
This is James.
Go ahead, James. You're on the air.
Yeah, I just want to know why this guy is so intimidated by this Zuckerberg and why he's so worried about this guy, Mark, can get any woman he wants. Isn't this guy married? Doesn't he respect his wife? What's up with that?
Steve?
Yes, sir, I am married. I do love my wife very much.
So why are you so worried about this other guy can get any woman? And you're disrespecting a woman by calling her a poon, let alone a tail. You know, right there tells me how you think of women. And I'm sure all the other listeners are agreeing with me on that. You couldn't even come around and say woman and tell Phil here said, why can't you just say woman? And you still had trouble saying it. You know, and why intimidates you so much?
What? Yeah, that is the question.
Well, okay. I think you're making a good point. And all I'm saying is, sir, he doesn't really intimidate me. It's that he has, at the age of 27, I mean, it's almost like he's got more money than Jesus himself would have miracled. If Jesus was going to miracle his own, I guess you could say if Jesus was going to miracle his own wealth, that's more money than Jesus probably miracled.
Let me ask you this. Are you jealous of Bill Gates? He's got a, how about Donald Trump? He can get any woman he wants to. You know,
well, not really, because not really because this guy Zuckerberg's got them both beat because he's doing it at 27.
Well,
you know
Donald or Mick Jagger was 27 once too and had money up the wazoo and could have any woman he wants.
But he didn't do it in the business world. He did it in rock and roll, which everybody knows that doesn't mean anything. Any idiot can do that. I'm talking about being in the business land, and this guy is 27, and he's a genius at business, and with that much money, he could literally have any woman, and that's what Mr. Henry didn't want me to say, but...
You're saying something that I think is even more insulting than what James is saying. You're saying, not you're saying anything insulting, James, but what you're describing. You're saying that every woman has a price. That's what you're saying, right?
Yes, sir.
And Mark Zuckerberg now has the money to meet the price of any woman on Earth.
Yes, sir.
Well,
and you're jealous of that.
Let me ask you this question. This gentleman from California here who's upset with this Zuckerman guy, what is the price his wife would accept? That sounds to me like he's worried that this guy...
He's not married. Are you talking about my wife?
No. I'm talking about this guy from California here that we're talking with.
Yeah, that's me, sir. I would say the following thing. My wife, I love her very deeply. If Mark Zuckerberg come along and opens up, basically just shows her what he's got, what am I going to do? There's nothing I can do about it. And that's the other thing that I think you're missing the understanding part of, that Mr. Henry is too. If Mark Zuckerberg come down to my area and his wife
would leave you if some stranger, some guy in the media, some guy written in the newspaper comes by and opens his wallet, then your wife doesn't love you to begin with. My wife wouldn't do that.
I don't think that that's the case. I think that my wife, I don't think you can fault a woman when she finally finds the price.
That's ridiculous. If your wife loves you and some millionaire, zillionaire, quadrillionaire walks up and goes, hey, how about $2 million to be with me for the night or to come live with me or whatever, and your wife does that, what kind of relationship?
See, $2 million, sir, you're talking about that movie that I've seen, that Indecent Proposal. Okay.
You're talking about you're intimidated because this guy has $5 billion and he can have any woman he wants. Now, I ask you the question, if this guy comes up to your wife, is your wife going to walk away with this guy after he opens his wallet to her? And if she walks away with this guy, then I don't think you have any type of relationship to begin with your wife. How long have you been married to her? I've been married...
18 years.
I've been married
18
for
years.
Years. I've been married for...
Okay, but I'm...
Years.
My point is this. You're missing my point. My point is this. You and me, if we were standing on a front lawn one day with our wives, and Mark Zuckerton comes over from his car and says, take a look at what I got, and both of our wives left, I would say to you, hey, more power to them.
I am secure with not only my marriage, but my life to where I don't think those thoughts.
Thoughts, but what I'm trying to say to you is, it's a real threat.
It's a real threat, huh, that Mark Zuckerberg's going to come up to the front of your house.
I'm saying every...
You guys
don't get it.
I can't believe what you're saying. That
every woman has a price. You meet her price.
My woman doesn't.
And, man, she'll put her ankles before...
Okay, let's watch the dirty talk, okay? Do you mind?
Sorry.
My wife doesn't have a price because she loves me. All right.
I believe she loves you, sir. I believe she loves you. I believe she loves you very much.
She loves you up to that price. And once that price is met, now she's...
I already know that. That's because I'm secure in my marriage, and I don't wake up or look in the mirror and go, geez, this guy over here has got all this money. I'm such a loser. I am very comfortable with... I'm a truck driver.
I'm not saying you shouldn't be comfortable. I'm not saying that you... And I'm saying that it's good that you're comfortable. I'm comfortable, but I'm doing... See, the thing that makes different from me to you, I think about these things so you don't have to.
On national radio and starts to talk about somebody that he probably has never met or talked to in person and emotionally breaks down, has got an insecure life. That's all I have to say about that. Because like that over somebody that has that kind of money, you got to either be insecure or very, very jealous.
Okay, I'm not jealous. I'm simply saying I know how the world works. And I believe your wife loves you, and my wife loves me. But they love us up to, you know, a number of zeros. If a guy comes along with extra zeros, guess what? They hit their love limit.
My wife's going to leave for $2 zillion. I don't think so. Because my wife...
Well, I mean, the key word there is think. And
okay, Steve. You know, Steve, you made a comment, Steve. You said you made a comment, Steve. You said you think about these things so guys like James don't have to. Now, all you've done is gotten yourself worked up. James doesn't believe you. Mark Zuckerberg may be a guy that can have any woman he wants. But for you to say that every woman has a price,
Mr. Henry, you know and James knows that given the right place and the right time and there's nobody around and nobody watching, a woman will do anything.
Not quite, dude. Some women do have morals, praise the Lord, and some women don't need what you're talking. If your wife walks away for a price, then you better rethink the marriage.
I'm telling you, sir, I'm just saying, if you turn on enough lights and you get enough cameras going, women will do anything.
Boy. Wow.
Phil,
your wife included.
Okay, I got to take a break. James, thank you, sir, for your call, though. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Given enough lights...
That is correct, sir.
This is the emotionalism that gentleman was talking about.
Well, you know, if I can be allowed to be emotional over the possibility that my wife... is going to go away with Mark Zuckerman. And, you know, get put on that million-dollar smile because some guy just turned on about five lights and got six cameras going.
All right, why don't you hang on, okay?
Okay.
We may want to break it off with this guy, bud.
Yeah.
He sounds like he's a wreck. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back here. It's the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Our News and Information Hour coming up next.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. It's the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Now, I just heard some music there. I don't know what that was, bud. We have on the line with us Stephen Bozell. We've got a couple of more, just a few more minutes with Mr. Bozell to talk with him about this fear that you have of Mark Zuckerberg, all of this money. It's a humiliating thing that they said he's 27 and that he has brought Wall Street to its knees and that he's a college dropout. He's a major success. And now you've been talking to our producer.
Yes, sir. And the reason why I did is I had him get a song. I have heard. I asked him if you do have a song to play, because the song is a song about what a woman's capable of. And boy, I'll tell you.
Okay, bud, have you got that?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead and roll the tune. I don't know what this song is. Do you know what? Okay, this is the Andrea True, right?
Yes, sir. Now, what you're hearing here is the Andrea True connection, and she's going to be singing about. When I hear this, I think about my wife, your wife. It could be anybody's wife. If this guy Zuckerberg gets a hold of your wife, this is it. And you'll hear there's a section of the song where she goes, get the camera.
All right, hold on.
But if you want to know how I really feel,
oh, God.
Just get the cameras rolling.
Right there.
Get the action going. Baby, you
God, right.
My love for you is real.
Okay,
so take me where you want to. May my heart just seal.
Yes, sir.
I got to tell you, Steve, I got to tell you, I'm laughing.
Okay, you can laugh if you want to. You want to laugh at me? You can laugh. Go ahead, turn it off. You want to laugh at me?
You're telling me if Mark Zuckerberg gets a hold of your wife, she turns into... You know who Andrea True was? She was an adult film actress in the 70s.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, I mean, she's singing about being an adult film actress. She was, you know, I think she recorded that song in the Bahamas while she was down there doing a movie.
Yeah, I'm just saying when I hear that song.
You think about your wife, April?
Yes, I do.
All right, 877-876-7445. Let's go to a phone call. We have Torin on the line. Torin, go ahead. You're on with Stephen Bozell, sir.
Yes, I'm calling in to ask, Steve, I don't understand. It sounds like you're emotionally unstable. It sounds like you don't even really trust your own wife. And I don't understand that. If you love her like the way you say you do, why would you suspect a man that she's never met, younger than her probably, that Mark Zuckerberg travels in a world that you don't even travel in? Why would you even want to say something like that about your own wife whom you say you love?
I do love her, sir. I love her very much, you know. And I wouldn't. Here's the thing that maybe you guys wouldn't want me to say, but I wouldn't even, if April got turned into some kind of drink, God forgive me for saying this, sir, but if my wife got turned into a drink whore by Mark Zuckerberg, I probably would understand it.
Oh, my God. A drink whore. That's what you just called your wife.
No.
You, in other words, you're saying your wife can be bought with a drink. That's what you said, man. It's got nothing to do with money. Just hanging around a bar, huh?
I'm just saying, if she knew who Mark Zuckerberg, she knows Mark Zuckerberg's got a lot of money. Mark Zuckerberg, with all the money that he's got, could turn any woman into a drink whore.
Why would you even make a statement like that about the woman that you say you love? That doesn't make any sense.
Because I know what women, what their limits are. I know that women are not saints. I know they're good people. But you know as well as I do, sir, if you read your Bible, they're more capable because they've been closer to the serpent.
Oh, sir, come on. Will you, man? Will you get this religious stuff?
Don't, Mr. Henry, don't offend my religion.
Oh, well, yeah, but this is medieval, man. It's medieval. It's when they used to say that women were this and that and they used to burn them at the stake. You want to do that, too?
Of course I don't.
Well, then stop it with that nonsense.
Sir, you yourself are capable of doing something, and if I were Mark Zuckerberg, I really would be very, you know, would worry about a person like you, because you seem like you're a very unstable person. You're envious of the man.
You're envious of the man,
and you don't even care.
No, I'm not.
The man don't even know you.
I'm not enemies of Mark Sugarman. I would never do nothing to him. And
somebody, his name's Mark Sugarman?
I mean Zuckerberg, I'm sorry. I would never do nothing to him. I would understand. I just hope and pray it never does happen, that's all. Otherwise?
You'd understand if your wife goes off and he's got the cameras rolling.
Yes, sir. And you want to laugh at that, Mr. Henry?
Have your wife ever cheated on you?
Not that I know of.
Then does she know that you're saying these things about her?
I think my wife understands. She understands because I pointed out to her in the paper today. I said, I showed her the picture of Zuckerberg, and she said, yeah. And I said, look at the money he's got. I said, you go ahead and go take a trip around the world for that, wouldn't you?
God, you talking that way to your wife?
Mr. Henry, I'm trying to be.
God, was this at breakfast? Dude, are your kids there? I mean, I just want to get the whole picture of your family.
I mean,
are you talking to your wife like this? Would you take a trip around the world for this guy? This cat here, Torin, and the rest of these guys are right, man. You're paranoid. What is with this music?
You still listening? Ever hear that? That's my wife, April. Are you married, sir? Is Torin, are you married, sir?
Yes, I am.
Okay, how'd you like it if your wife was saying, get the cameras going?
First of all, sir, if a woman did that to me, and if I was married to her, and if she did something like that to me, no amount of money in the world could be able to hold her anyway. And the bottom line is, my wife is not like that. And you, I don't believe yours is either. I can't believe you would even talk like that about your own
right.
wife. What kind of
own
man
wife.
Are
all right. Hey, listen, Torin, very good call. I appreciate it. Mr. Bozell, good luck with this injunction against the Sacramento Mercury News to take out the line about this guy. Oh, will you turn off more?
He's my wife. Get the cameras going. Get the action going.
Oh.
Phil Hendry. Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. We do have in our news and information, I will be coming on with some comments about a story today in the news concerning Marine snipers in, I think it was Afghanistan or Iraq, and I'm not sure when this took place. I think they're snipers. They were identified as such by somebody on TV. But in any event, we'll talk about the fact that they were photographed, or there was a video of them urinating on their these insurgents that they just shot, and the reaction of the military, reaction of the press, and so forth. 877-876-PHIL. Other big news from the city of Los Angeles. We're going to talk about tonight with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, and we're going to be talking about a woman who is struck, and I mean this is a roundhouse right. Struck by a Los Angeles County sheriff on a Metrorail train.
Whenever the laws of any state are broken,
Jay, you ready?
A duly authorized organization swings into action. It may be called the state police, state troopers, militia, the Rangers,
or the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
These are the stories of the men whose training, skill, and courage have enforced and preserved our state law.
Jay Sanderson of the Citizens Auxiliary Police with us.
Thank you, Phil. And I want to very quickly, Phil, I'm not a member of the military. I've not been in the military, but I think what we do for the Citizens Auxiliary Police is similar to what our military does, and that is we are out here trying to protect and to help, you know, people be defended. And it can get, you know, I'll say it right now, it's going to get kind of hairy. And sometimes you get tense, and sometimes you know, do things.
Well, what you're a volunteer police agency. I mean, you're not really the police. You're not, you know, the police. What situations?
Well, that doesn't mean, Phil, we don't get into some hairy situations. And what do I mean by that? I mean, it doesn't mean that we don't get into situations where there's going to be, you know, some confrontational possibility. And I'm not really sure what you're referring to.
Well, what situation would you get into where these Marines were, you know, were photographed urinating on these bodies?
Well, I can tell you that I will say that we disciplined one of our subcommanders. We had been in front of someone's residence, and they had given us a hard time. It had to do with some videotapes that needed to be reported. Yeah, some videotapes that needed to be rewound and taken back to a video store. And one of the subcommanders and the individual in the house, you know, thought they were going to give us a hard time, you know, mouthed back and smarted off and smarted back and all this. And one of our subcommanders performed illicitly an act. You know, he relieved himself on the front lawn. And so we do.
Well, I mean, here you have the Marines and dead insurgents that were shooting at them. And in your case, this was someone who had not rewound, you know, a videotape.
Well, we're not in the business, Phil, of judging and... Hold on for a minute. What's that?
tipping.
We're not in the business, Phil, of judging, you know, what is a tense situation. As a civilian, as a member of a civilian, you know, of the civilian people that you are, you don't know, and I don't know what those Marines are up against. I can just tell you that one of our sub-commanders, after a very tense, you know, confrontation with a homeowner who had not rewound these videotapes, was, you know, disciplined by us after he relieved himself on a lawn.
All right, let's talk, Jay, about this situation in Southern California. Now, this was a woman hit, and I'll read the story. A Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department is investigating one of its own after a deputy was caught on video striking a woman on a bus in Bellflower. A passenger shot cell phone video showing the deputy allowing the woman elbowing the woman on Monday night. This is him elbowing her. I saw the videotape, and this was a roundhouse right. You know,
I've not seen it. I'm not really sure.
Well, we can show it for those who are watching Phil TV in HD right now. We'll show the video, and it's very, very clear to me, at least, what's happening. Let me get it over here to our. And Jay, are you watching?
I've got it right now. Yeah. Hold on for just a sec. 15.
This is from their newscast, and it will show in a moment here. This confrontation with the Los Angeles County Sheriff and this lady, if you can see that, you'll see that they were on this train, and at some point she tries to walk past this officer, and you'll see what happens. To me, it looks like here she is.
I'm watching right now. She looks like she's talking to one officer, and she's going to try to go past this other officer. He's grabbing her by both arms. She's talking, bang. Yeah, he did hit her with a hand.
Yeah, he hit her with a right hand. It's the news says elbow.
Now, that was a definite shot, and I can only imagine what that woman said to the officer. Because, again, you have to understand something, Phil. People are in a lot of ways are going to say things that the average civilian don't know, and they don't know about, you know.
Well, what do you mean, say things? I mean, the woman... Here it is. We're right here waiting for a bus, and she's trying to pick a fight. It says that she was trying to pick a fight.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Now, the police officer probably hit her not because she had overtly said anything like, you know, F you or some kind of a deal like this. But one of the things that we encounter, Phil, citizens auxiliary police or police officers that are in the field, is there is a high level of disrespect for peace officers, law enforcement officers. We're out there trying to control and, you know, regulate all of the things that are going on. And when people are disrespectful, and we're not talking about...
Well, what do you mean disrespectful? I mean, look, you guys are not the principal. You're not the teacher.
No, that's absolutely right. Absolutely right. But you are required to give us a level of respect given the uniform that we wear. And by that, it's simply something as, you know, calling us sir as opposed to hey you or mister. You don't talk with disrespect to a police officer when he's asking you questions. You answer crisply and quickly. You make sure that when you are talking to a police officer that you are looking him in the eye. You're not averting his face. You try not to just little things, Phil. They don't seem big, but you know, chewing gum. These kinds of, if you're chewing gum when you're talking to a police officer, it's going to potentially be seen as a situation. The other thing is...
Well, but are you saying that those are laws?
What those are indicators. If I'm talking to an individual and she's chewing gum, like we had a kid here last week, she's chewing gum and not meeting my gaze, that right away I said, okay, you know, all bets are off. I folded up my citation book and we went ahead and called her parents and told her in parents that, you know, she was walking around and everything. And so...
What was she doing?
She was walking by herself in the mall.
And well, was it after curfew?
Well, that's got nothing to do with it. I mean, she's a kid walking around. We didn't know if she was soliciting or what. So...
she's a kid that... Okay. All right. So we see this lady on the train, and she gets slugged by the officer.
That's right.
And so she must have said something overt?
Well, it can be overt. It can be something as simple, like I said, as simple as the officer was walking by and she said, listen, I'm trying to get your name and you're chewing gum and you're not, you know, you didn't call me ma'am. Would you stop and shut up and give me your name? or if there are these threats. Now, a lot of people don't say pig anymore. Pig is, you're inviting, if you call a police officer a pig, it's pretty legal, or close to legal, for that police officer to, you know, make a statement. And
what do you mean by statement? And I'm sorry for all these questions.
Well, I think you understand what I mean by statement.
No, you're telling me it's pretty legal for him to make a statement.
That is correct.
What does that mean?
Well, if you're a policeman and someone called you a pig, what would you do?
No, it's not what I would do. I want to know what you're calling legal.
If that lady called that police officer a pig or did something that more and more people are doing now, which is making these veiled references, a lot of people now are saying things like, oh, I smell bacon, or I'm going to the store to buy bacon. That right way. That, you know, that right way is a red flag.
And so if someone says, I'm going to the store to buy bacon, the cop can slug you.
I'm saying that it's probably, yeah, probably legal, because calling a police officer a pig is like saying, you know, the N-word to a black person. And I didn't want to say it, but...
Well, I can't really buy that, and I'll tell you why. Because the N-word is racial, P is an occupation. The police officers, while I don't like hearing our police officers called that word, it pisses me off when I hear it. It is a reference to an occupation, not a race.
Well, I don't know what you mean by that. All I'm saying is, Phil, it's insightful to a police officer to be called, you know, to have anybody sniff the air, say there's bacon or whatever. That's like a being called a pig, or a being called the N.
All right, we're talking here with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. What could that woman have said to that L.A. sheriff? He hit her with a right hand right across the chops. I mean, and with all due respect to the lady and the situation, and just talking like, you know, a stupid talk show host, that cop hit her with a right hand, and I mean a right cross, and she didn't go down necessarily. She was pulled down.
Yeah, I noticed that too, Phil. She took that shot pretty good. And that tells me she's probably taken a few shots to the face. And again, if you saw her face and they did have the face there, you know, that's the face of a woman that's taken a few, you know, she's taken a few shots in her day off her face. And so, and I had said that to one of the sub-commanders, and they all laughed. And I said, no, it's not what you're thinking. I said, I'm talking about this. And
all right, we're talking with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And Jay says that if you call a cop a pig, or if you even make a veiled reference like there's bacon cooking or I got to go get bacon, any of these things that could be considered insightful, then, quote, unquote, quote, it's probably legal for them to cold cock you like that. This lady on the train in Los Angeles, I have no idea what precipitated that. We'll get back to talking more about it. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, we're back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. We got Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Where are you right now, Jay?
We're in a substation that we set up, generally some mobile substations, generally at a residence, one of our residences.
Now, if you look at the homepage here, folks, so those of you who are on Phil TV and HD, you see the Channel 5, this is the homepage of Channel 5, and this is the video story that I was mentioning. Video captures deputy striking woman on bus. Now, you're saying that this lady most likely said something to the officer?
I don't think there's any doubt. She probably said something like, you know, she might have just said something, you know, like, hey, you. And when you're talking to an officer, you want to say more respect, you know, say, officer, could I say something? Nothing will get me. I'm just speaking me personal now as a Citizens Auxiliary Police Officer. If someone's to say to me, hey, you, or, you know, what do you want? You know, that gets me. I start to sweat. You generally know I start to perspire. I feel I begin to size the person up. I you know, some of my younger officers might even think about things that I've told them they can't do. You know, is there an alley or is there a secluded place where I can take this person, and is there a word against mine?
Well, now, wait a second. You just told me it's probably legal.
No, I don't. I can't make that statement. I'm telling you what is going to make an officer angry. Yeah, if you call him a pig and then he goes ahead and performs, it's self-defense. And
it's self-defense if he belts somebody after they call him pig.
Yes, sir, or any of these veiled threats like, I'd like you to give me your driver's license. I have to go to the store today and pick up bacon. That is one of the oldest in the book. And right away, you would be in your rights, too.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. And let me get Al on the phone. Al?
Yay.
Go ahead, sir. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Okay, I just wanted to let you, I just wanted to bring something up. I'm right here in Los Angeles. And it's a bad thing that actually what happened after the lady got the devil knocked out of her, then what happened, she was placed on a 72-hour psychiatric hold. They can do that legally, but what that does, that stops a personal injury attorney from swooping her up. They're like vultures in Los Angeles. And then if she's got any noticeable bruises and all of that, it's 72 hours for all that to clear up. And they did interview her when she got out of the psychiatric hole. It was a few news outlets to do that. So I just thought I'd...
Well, you have to put her on a 72-hour because you don't know if she's a danger to you or me or herself. And, if she's calling people, Porker, I don't know if she called a guy Porker, but she's running around there calling people names. You think it's funny, but...
One thing about it, listen at me, Phil. It's so many L.A.
He's responding to a 911 call about a woman who had almost attacked she almost attacked an elderly person right
That's
there.
Correct.
Okay. So now you're going to have to get that 72-hour to keep an eye on her, make sure she's not running around trying to...
Well, I mean, what the man's saying, and Al, I understand what you're saying. Basically, she's taken into custody the 72 hours. So other things that she might be able to, for instance, the physical bruising that she might be able to show a judge was the result of this attack, this altercation with the police, or any other things that might be of value, she can't say to an attorney for 72 hours. And
that's
I suppose
correct.
What you're saying,
Well, what are you supposed to do? I tell you what I'll do is I'll let you out so you can talk to a lawyer and, rape a cat. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Yeah,
what do you mean, rape a cat?
Well, you don't know what she's going to do.
Well, then, all over Los Angeles, there is a multitude of psychiatric homeless people.
That's
over the place. And they know who this lady is. And it's just, maybe they just got tired of it and just knocked the devil out of her. That was the protocol.
Could
to
be.
Lock her up for 72 hours, and a personal injury attorney can't swoop her up off the street. And then, eventually a lawyer will get a hold of her.
The other thing, too, is, I don't know if you ever seen this thing, this Faces of Meth. If she had one of the Faces of Meth, because... What they do is they see that meth face, and police officers go, I'm going to have to. I look at a face like that. If I see a meth face, I think I want to knock that, whatever wrong with that guy's face, I want to knock it off of his face. It's an automatic thing.
Well, I saw this woman. She didn't have a. If she's a psychiatric patient, she's a psychiatric patient. I understand that. Here is Ron on the Phil Hendry Show. Ron, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't have any idea about the laws in California, but I was a police officer in Texas for 5 years, and here in Texas, you have to have reasonable restraint. And a police officer that is trained in his job and what have you is trained to take any kind of physical abuse and throw somebody to the ground if they have to, and cuff them. There is no reason for a police officer to ever strike a person because they call you a name.
Well, let me ask you a question, sir. This is Jay Sanis. You say you're a police officer for 5 years, sir?
I was, yes, sir.
All right. If you have a person that you detain, and that person starts waving the air going, man, I'm smelling pork. I mean, you know you want to just go ahead and do it.
Well, the hair on the back of your neck does bristle up, and that puts you on the
offense. That's right.
But it still gives you no reason to strike someone unless they physically try to strike you.
Well, see, I consider that to be a threat, Phil.
And why do you consider that a threat?
If someone says there's pork cooking, are you kidding? There's only a small step between...
It doesn't matter. If that person, even if it was a grown man, linebacker size, says, I'm going to knock your head off, you still can't hit him first.
Now, what would you do, sir, if, for instance, someone's... Don't you demand that they call you sir? I do. I want them to call me at least sir or something.
Well, and stand, you know, that's pretty nice.
Stand up straight.
It hardly ever happens to a police officer, and you know it.
No, I mean... Demand that they call you sir.
Demand that they call you sir, or you strike them.
It's considered to be
a demand. You cannot demand anybody to say anything.
You can demand that they treat you with respect, that they stand up straight and treat you with respect.
You can ask them to do so, and you know as well as I do how many people you arrested.
How many people? I've detained young people, and elderly, and I said, stand up straight. It's easier to push them around if they're older. I understand that.
All right, look, I got to take a break. Thank you very, very much, Ron, for your expertise in that area. Jay, thank you. Hold on, 877-876-PHIL. When is it all right for an officer to strike somebody? When they call you pig, when they're not respectful, when they're not standing up straight? Jay Santos seems to think so. 877-876-PHIL. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show will be right back.
Why don't you stand up straight?
Phil Hendry.
Guy waves the air and spell pork. We're
world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Whenever the laws of any state are broken, a duly authorized organization springs into action. It may be called the state police, state troopers, militia, the rangers,
or the citizens' auxiliary police.
These are the stories of the men whose training, skill, and courage have enforced and preserved our state law.
Jay Santos joining us from the citizens' auxiliary police this evening. And we are...
Hold on. Here he is.
Well, we're talking about the Los Angeles County Sheriff that smacked this lady. And you correctly, I think, identified it, Jay. It wasn't an elbow. He gave her a right hand. I don't know what she was saying, but you have indicated that this woman was most likely saying something offensive.
That is correct, yes. And I understand what the last gentleman said, who is a Texas law enforcement officer for some 5 years, I believe he said. And I do appreciate his expertise as well, Phil. I believe that when a individual, civilian, and I am a citizen's auxiliary police, I'm not a part of the uniform state police or local municipality, we are an auxiliary unit that we have independently set up by way of how we want to do it, and I understand all that, but if someone is standing in front of me and fanning the air in front of them saying, you know, it's a good day for pork or something like that. That right away is a threat, especially if it's someone who has one of faces of meth.
And you keep talking about the faces of meth. What?
Well, if you see someone with the faces of meth and they're waving their hand, talking about it being a good day for a pork, you know, good day for a pork sandwich or however they say it, then I think you're duty bound to just go ahead and start beating on them. I mean, that's my feeling. And
what? Yeah, but what is the thing with the faces of meth? You think that those people are dangerous?
I absolutely think they're dangerous. You look. Have you ever seen the face of someone who is on the meth? You know, is on the meth. They got faces that are the faces have all kinds of sores. They look like there's a devil. They've been possessed by a demon of some kind. I'd just as soon beat their face in.
See, that to me doesn't sound professional.
No, it's very professional.
No, that doesn't. That to me sounds like a guy whose emotions are really getting away from him. Let's take a phone call here. We have Mike on the line. Hi, Mike. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Jay Santos. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Phil. You know, Jay, sure. I was a military policeman for 6 years, and
yes,
I'm not sure what type of training that this auxiliary force that you're some sort of commander of has. You know, I'm not sure.
Well, I mean, we're a citizens group. We're a citizens group. And to be honest with you, you know, civilian police sometimes fail at their job. We have to come in, you know, sweep in, and we got to sweep in behind them.
Okay. Well, my thought is that there's a, you know, military police officers, civilian police officers, they're both trained the same. I mean, number one, you're going to have thick skin to be in that type of job. And number two, you know, there's certain levels of force that you're allowed for the threat level that you've encountered. And to handle a situation, you know, that nobody deserves respect. I mean, the officer commands respect of his handling of the situation, his or her handling of the situation.
I think when you show the uniform of the police officer, right there, people should say, yes, sir. Stand up straight, you know. I don't want to sound like you're in school, but, I mean, standing there chewing gum with a slouch, you know.
Sure.
Well, that does sound like you're in school.
Every police officer would like to have courtesy given to him or her.
Right, exactly.
You know, this is America, and that doesn't happen. And if you're in the job of in the role of some sort of authority figure in America, you know, and you don't get respect at the time that you're encountering a suspect or a person of interest or anything, you know, at that point, you know, you've got to command the situation, but you're not going to be able to have a sir or madam, you know, being addressed to you at all times.
I understand, I just want to say this one thing.
Force.
Yes, sir. I just want to say one thing. I hear what you're saying, but when I stand there and I say, hey, you know, you're talking to, citizens or police, the least you can do is stop chewing your gum and standing there like you have curvature of the spine or whatever, and they laugh at me. Now, some of these people, and I want to just tell you this, Mike, because I meant to say this, some of them had the faces of meth that I was just talking to Mr. Henry about. If you see that face, that right away for me is a threat, because if I see the faces of meth, I don't know if that person's going to go ape, if they're going to turn into an ape and try to climb me. I don't know what they're going to do.
Well, you don't. If you see that, Mike, and you were a military police officer, right?
I was. So, you know, meth.
Well, how many times are you going to see the faces of meth out and being a military cop? I don't know. Maybe you do.
Well, see, that's just it. I don't think you ever saw that.
No.
You see faces of meth, you want to kick that face in.
You know,
you want to kick it in.
Well,
I don't think you
want to kick it in. I do. You want to ascertain the situation and deal with it accordingly. I don't think that. I think if a person raises a threat level on you, then you're authorized for hand to hand situation all the way to level 7 and you know bearing of a deadly weapon. But
I want to ask you as a military police officer, did you ever encounter a face of the meth? Did you ever see that?
That's a good question.
No,
did you ever see army guys? No? Okay.
I've never seen a...
Yeah.
All right. See, that's just it. If you see that out in civilian life, you don't know the faces of meth. And
what is this faces of meth? Are you talking about a guy or a girl or some individual that has obvious scarring from the use of methamphetamine?
Well, yes, but it's the face... You ever seen the faces of meth?
What are you talking... What is it, a movie?
I'm talking about the pictures they have.
Yeah, I've seen those, yeah.
Well, Mike doesn't want to do it, but I tell you right now, I feel the threat level is I don't know what you call it, elevated. I'd beat that face in until it was a face of something good.
All right, Mike, thanks very much for your call. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry. Should you hear that guy laughing?
Well, he can laugh all he wants. You know, I question if that gentleman was laughing at me, a law enforcement officer. I wasn't a military police, but I was a fellow law enforcement officer. And for him to laugh like that, I think, shows he has a level, excuse me, for a level of disrespect that I think is wrong. Now, when I talk about the face of meth, I'm talking about someone who could be a threat or maybe or could be, and the instinct is to beat the face of meth in until it's the face of purity. And
you know something? You don't even sound like a cop the way you talk.
What's that supposed to mean?
I want to beat in the face of meth until it's the face of purity. That's
Mr. Henry, every police officer.
Hey, sir, that's just Teddy Cammy in the corner.
What do you got? We have a situation out here right now, Phil. If you want, we can do a ride along. And
what do you?
We have a situation where we have someone who has lipped off to a subcontractor. Where is it?
Putin Bay.
All right. We have a situation right now, Phil. I think it might be interesting for you to be a part of it. Where someone has lipped off to a subcommander, and we're going to get into one of our we'll get into a vehicle now and head over to that area. And you never really know, Phil. And you can hear the sound of typewriters in the background, even though we're in a car. That's troubling.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll try and figure that out. But I do have a couple of things I want to say. One, if you encounter anyone what has a face of meth, it's not anything that you want to deal with one-on-one, because the instinct is to beat it in. And we're heading over right now. Where'd they say to...
Where are you going?
We're on our way over to this Hawthorne and Toluca. Hold on. Pull up right here. Pull up right here. How are you doing this evening?
Uh-oh.
What's the immediate problem?
I'm just walking down the street.
Well, you're walking down the street, but this officer wanted to know what you're doing, and you were being disrespectful. What'd you say about pork?
I was going to get a shredded pork sandwich.
You ain't piled pork?
Huh?
All right. Okay, so you said piled pork.
Yeah.
Hold him up. I didn't hit you. I didn't hit you, but I could.
What'd you do that for?
You say piled pork in front of me? Phil is the gentleman who said something about a piled pork sandwich. I didn't hit him, but I swung at him. And you should have seen him go down, too. What were you scared of? I didn't hit you. You do meth?
What?
Do you do meth? You don't know? You don't know whether you do meth or not?
What's your name? What are you guys, anyway?
Citizens Auxiliary Police. I'm Jay Santos.
Jay?
Yeah, Phil.
Did you say that kid said something about pork?
Yeah, he said he's going down here to Costco. I want to get a pile of pork sandwich. Well, and so I feinted a right hand like I was going to hit him, and he immediately went down, and subcommander police in here had to pick him up. I didn't hit him.
So you're, what is that, police torture or something?
What do you mean police torture? I just, hey, hold on for a minute. What do you want? What do you think I'm doing?
I don't know. What do you guys want? What are those hats?
You got a problem with my hat? You got a problem with the hat I'm wearing? Yeah?
Yes. What is it?
It's a level 6, Phil. What we do is we pretend like we're going to hit him. We don't. Yeah?
You know, that to me is some level of kind of police coercion that I don't like, and I think you should stop. And I think that the man's given you the answer. Is he not being respectful?
No, he's not being respectful. He was respectful to you, Gleason.
I didn't think he was respectful to me, but I asked him to be.
What's that?
I didn't think he was.
Gleason said he didn't think he was being respectful. Well, he didn't.
Well, this guy, I can't even understand what he's saying.
What?
I can't understand what he's saying. He's got something wrong with his lip. I've been like that lip.
All right, look, you're making fun of his lip, but you look like the underside of a cat that's been dragged for a mile. What are you? You're telling me you don't smoke meth?
A little bit.
Yeah, there you lie.
All right, we got to take a break, Jay.
Huh?
We got to take a break.
Just getting good.
Hang on for a minute. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, who has, along with another subcommander, they've pulled over a man and they're questioning him. He has not shown respect. He said something about a piled pork sandwich. And it sounds to me like they're engaging in some kind of a police coercive behavior. I don't like it. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Henry Show will be right back.
Truth.
is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, we're back. Are you still there?
It's Jay Santos waiting on Phil Hendry.
I'm right here, Jay.
Yeah, Phil.
All right, we're back on the air.
All right. We've let this young man go, and we are basically we're just filling out a report. He looked at me like he was. I don't know what his problem was, but when Sub-Commander Gleason pulled him over. He was walking, and he did not give Sub-Commander Gleason no respect, was standing, shifting his weight, looking around, had his hands in his pocket, chewing gum, and just looked like a real slob. At that time, Sub-Commander Gleason says to the guy, you know, what's your problem or whatever, and this guy started giving some lip. So,
well, I don't know that any of that, as many other officers have said, have called the show, former or not.
Well, let's keep something clear, Phil. The people that I've talked to tonight on your show are all former law enforcement officers. All former law enforcement officers. That means that as former law enforcement officers, they probably don't know a lot of what it is that they're talking about now because laws have changed.
Yeah, all right. I don't know. 877-876-PHIL. Let me go to a phone call here. I got Brian. Brian, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Jay Santos. Go ahead, please.
Yeah. Do they get paid for what they're doing?
Is gentleman asking?
Yeah. Do you get paid?
We are Citizens Auxiliary Police. We are community oriented. Do we get paid? We get paid. In terms of what? In what sense do you mean?
Wages.
I earn a wage at my security job, but not as a citizen's officer, police officer, because this is not really about money. It's about saving lives, as far as we're concerned. It's all about saving lives.
It seems to me you're using abusive power. First of all, it's guys like you that are giving us in the security field bad names.
I don't understand. How am I giving you a bad name if I'm stopping some meth base?
Because what you're doing is an abuse of authority.
In what sense, sir? Here's a guy that was walking down the street giving me lip. Hello?
And that gave you the right to swing on him?
Well, I did not hit him.
See, that's what I'm talking about. You're putting fear, you know, you're putting fear in these people. Why?
The man was stopped because he looked like he might have a problem. He had a face on him that looked like he does meth. And so anyway, we stopped him. And asked him some questions. He was smart mouth about it, telling everybody we looked like a bunch of fairies. If you want me to say it, I'll use them. And that's when we stood him up and you know, pretended like I was going to hit him.
So you got angry at the guy for calling you names?
He was not showing respect. And that's why I'll say to this gentleman here, Brian, got to have him show respect to you. Otherwise, you look like a, you know, just a turd.
The way I see it, you think that uniform brings you respect, but that uniform don't bring you any respect. It's the person in the uniform that gets the respect. And you're certainly not going to get it trying to beat it out of them.
I didn't beat on him, sir. I...
Well, you pretended to. It was like almost like torture.
Are you kidding me? Torture? Oh, my God. So you think, what do I do, like waterboard him or something?
No, you didn't waterboard the guy, but when you swing on a guy and he thinks he's going to get hit, it puts fear into him.
Well, what respect do I get? What respect do I get when the guy goes, you know, I'm going to get a pile of pork sandwich? Forget
you
it.
You said you're a security officer? You should have been trained that we're supposed to have thick skins. I'm a security officer, too.
So you want a guy to say to you, hey, how's the piled pork sandwich in this neck of the woods?
I go through,
you know what that means.
That on a daily basis. I've worked in a
Yes, sir?
This gentleman is saying that there's a lot worse that you're going to deal with. And
you know, Mr. Henry, you're not a cop. I don't even know. You're all...
this gentleman's saying.
You don't know anything about it.
Okay, but I'm the host of the show. Do you mind?
Let me ask this gentleman, have you seen the face of meth? And Mr. Henry doesn't like me using that term, but have you seen a meth? Seen a face of meth?
I've seen them all. If you're talking about high on methamphetamines, I've seen them high on angel dust.
What are they doing in a mall? Are they shopping for shoes? What is that?
Just that. They're in the mall.
They're in the mall, yeah. They're in the mall, it's high on angel dust.
I don't think that doesn't add up.
There's not many places for them to go here in Richmond, Virginia.
Oh, you're in Richmond, Virginia. All right. I didn't know what part of the... Richmond, that's a very lovely area. That's Southern Virginia. I know there's a lot of lovely areas there. Yeah,
no. Okay, that's fine, but it's Richmond, Virginia. There's a lot of, it's a tough urban environment in some areas. Listen, Brian, thank you very much for your call. I appreciate it, sir. 877-876-PHIL. Oh, shoot, I don't know who we have on the line here. Let me see. Who is the call? Oh, Danny, hold the line here. Thanks very much. Let me go over to Danny. Hi, Danny, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Jay Sanders of the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
How you doing, Phil?
Yes, sir.
I'm from the Massachusetts area, and the auxiliary police around here, they don't have that type of authority to stop. They're pretty much around here just handling traffic. He talks about meth people. We have meth people on meth around here. Police officers stop them, check them out. If they don't disrespect them, they don't throw punches, they don't slap people. You know, they try to, you know, assess the situation. This guy, I don't know. He thinks maybe that uniform gives him the right.
No, sir, I don't think. Danny, here's my thing. Here in California, we got a meth lab out here in the desert. You know, we got them all over the place. I got to go out there and shut down a meth lab. I got to slap a man around. I don't want to. I don't mean to. I didn't think I was going to.
All right, listen, Danny, I'm sorry we didn't have more time for your call. I appreciate it very much. And, Jay, thank you. And
is that it? Because... You know, I was going to show you, this is wrong, Phil. It's very wrong because you're giving people the impression that I'm a dumbass.
Well, you are a dumbass.
All right. I didn't even get to play my theme music.
We played it at the beginning.
No, I demand that you... My contract says at
Phil
the end of the bit.
Henry. Oh, boy. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
World famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Where truth is our bitch and where we go anywhere to get you to places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't and they don't, so they won't and they wouldn't and they couldn't and they shouldn't, man. And underline the shouldn't part. Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard with me here. We will also do, of course, our... what's it called?
News and Information.
Yeah. All right, News and Information Hour coming up. Roland Schwinn has been a frequent contributor on our program. Mr. Schwinn is the president and one of the founding members of Pride America, a group of people who are not, in the words of their charter, constrained by weight or size. They find pride in who they are and in what they're dealing with. A lot of people think that their organization is about being proud of being overweight, and that's not it at all. It's about in the times that I've talked to Mr. Schwinn and others, it's just about being yourself. Now, this news story was handled today by Pride America in a news release, and they had some commentary on it. But here it is from USA Today: the McRib, the elusive sandwich that has inspired a cult-like following is back. McDonald's announced Monday that the boneless barbecue pork sandwich, usually available in only a few stores at a time, will be sold at all U.S. locations. Most of the time, it's up to local franchises to determine when and if they want to sell the McRib, except in Germany, the only place where it's always available, the McRib, always. I don't know why that is, you know?
Yeah, because the Germans are not, there's no Jews there.
Oh, is that why? Because there's no Jews there, huh? What an idiot, you know?
Well, I mean, why do they?
I guess it's because there's no Jews there, so you don't have to offend them, so you can eat pork all the time.
Well, ain't that it?
I don't know. Why do you think that's it?
Because they killed all of them.
Okay, well, great. Are you serious? Do you honestly believe that McDonald's would acknowledge something like that? Hey, we can sell the McRib, we can sell pork in Germany because all the Jews are gone.
Well, I don't know, man. They're trying to do the best they can with the business that they do of what they have.
Uh-huh. Anyway, McDonald's said the response...
What does that mean, uh-huh?
Hey, bud, I'm done talking to you. McDonald's said the response was so great last November... Don't talk to me like that.
Well, go on, huh?
I don't care. You gotta sit there and go, we did need a... I say what I say, and then when I'm done, we move on, and you don't ask any more questions.
Okay, I just was wondering.
Yeah, really? Well, I figured you were wondering. Well, guess what? Keep on wondering. McDonald's said the response was so great last November when it made the McRib available, no Jews there.
And now you've got to stick to the point here.
Yeah, what are you pushing?
Push me, you little punk. McDonald's said the response was so great last November.
You're just mad because KUFO put you on weekend. I'm going to...
Hey, kick your ass.
Yo, dude, what are you trying to do, man? Do that Christian Bale?
Maybe. Maybe I'll pull a Christian Bale here. And no, it won't be a Christian Bale. It'll be a Phil Henry. I really will kick his ass.
I didn't do anything wrong.
Shut up. That's what you're not shutting up. That's the thing you're doing wrong. McDonald's said the response was so great last November when it made the McRib available nationally that it decided to bring it back nationwide this year, except in Germany, where it's always available. The company, which previously hadn't sold the McRib nationally since 1994, declined to give sales numbers. The sandwich, which is dressed with onions...
What's that mean, dressed?
They dress it.
I bet you think that means they put it in a hat and slacks. Is that it?
What does it mean?
How do you do that, bud? How do you take a rib sandwich and put a hat on it?
I don't know.
It's a term they use in the culinary arts, which means cooking. When you dress something, it means you are seasoning it, you are putting on some sauces, you are basting it, you're, garnishing it, and so forth. The sandwich, which is dressed with onions, pickle slices, and barbecue sauce, was introduced nationally in 1982 with 500 calories and 26 grams of fat. It's slightly trimmer than the Big Mac, which is 540 calories and 29 grams of fat. And just like the Big Mac, the McRib has become a popular McDonald's offering. There are Facebook groups such as Bring Back the McRib. There are Twitter tags which posts range from Lucky Me, the McRib is back, to If You Eat McRibs, You Need to Reevaluate What It Is You Actually Want in Life. Is that a hashtag or something? Okay. So talking with us here from Houston, Texas tonight is Roland Schwinn from Pride America. And Roland, thanks for being with us.
I'm really happy, Bill.
And the McRib is back, and you heard that tag. If you eat McRibs, you need to reevaluate what it is you actually want in your life. How do you feel about that?
Well, the memo that we did today was a very clear statement of how we feel about the McRib sandwich. We battled the weight issue in our organization, at the same time trying to maintain pride in who we are and what we are, and have some shred of dignity and decency in our life. For McDonald's to reintroduce the McRib shows that they are not serious about assisting Pride America and other groups in maintaining the image that people who are not size confined, and you notice we don't say that we're overweight and we don't say that we're fat, we say that we are not size confined. When they return to the American diet the McRib, that's when we wrote the editorial that we did, and we stand by it.
Now, in the editorial that you wrote in Pride America, you said the McRib is just one of many reasons that there are people who are not size confined in America. For those millions of people, much of what they do in life is healthy, and that not being size confined has no negative impact. But there are those of us in Pride America who do want to be free to elect what our size will be. And when the McRib is introduced, as it was by McDonald's, you take that choice away from us. Explain that, please.
Yes. What is meant by that? And I wrote that editorial, too, by the way. What I meant by that was this. In Pride America, we make choices for ourselves in what we eat, how we dress, how we look, and we do this knowing that we're not size confined. Some of us are in excess of 300 pounds. I myself weigh 320 pounds, and yet I am fully mobile. I'm healthy. I don't have any health issues. I do watch what I eat. I'm not looking to become the world's biggest man or any of these other nonsensical goals that some people have. But the McRib is a game changer. The McRib is an attractive meal item. It is particularly attractive to those of us who are members of Pride America, those who are not size confined, because it is pork. It is very flavorful. It is garnished, as you mentioned, Phil, in dressing it or garnishing it. It is garnished very well. It's an excellent sandwich. And, of course, it has a delicious sandwich bun or sourdough bun that is encases this delicious sandwich. Not being size confined means that I'm going to want to eat a McRib. Others who are not size confined are going to want to eat a McRib. And so we will be front and center at McDonald's buying as many McRibs as we can without one shred of dignity or decency or pride left, because McDonald's has gone for the sweet spot. They have, in baseball, they call it a sweet spot, Phil. If you hit a ball in a sweet spot, you've hit it out of the ballpark. McDonald's has hit the sweet spot of Pride America and people that are not size confined.
And McDonald's has hit the sweet spot of Pride America and people that are not
size confined.
Size confined. So, with the reintroduction of the McRib, what effectively have they done?
What they have done effectively is declared war on people who are trying to control their weight and their size and their self-image. They've declared war on us, and they have said, so you're attempting to get a hold of your life and to control your physical life and your physical image and your physical clothes. Well, we're not going to let you do that. Here's the McRib.
Do you think that this is conscious, you know, on the part of McDonald's?
I don't know. But
because the way you said that, it sounds like, you know, they're declaring war in a conscious way.
No, I don't know. I mean, most likely it is more an omissive. It's more the myopic and the tunnel vision that a corporation has when it sees a profit. So they don't know who they're hurting. All they know is that they're going to put a McRib out there. And you're going to have millions and millions and millions of people that are not size confined going to buy this. And all the work that we've done in trying to keep people who are fat thousands away from this thousand is going to go for a lot.
Roland Schwinn with us here. So the McRib is a real danger to people who are overweight.
People that are not size confined. That's right.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL. The McRib is back, and McDonald's is making a big deal out of it. And it is a sandwich of 500 calories, 26 grams of fat. It is a pork sandwich, and it's a big popular sandwich. And among people that are battling weight problems, such as people in Pride America, Mr. Schwinn says it's like McDonald's declaring war on them. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Roland Schwinn from Fat Pride. It's not Fat Pride anymore, Roland. It's Pride America.
You are absolutely right, Phil. We changed the name of Fat Pride 2 years ago to Pride America. We felt it was far more interactive and much, much
more welcoming, I think, to new members.
All right. We're talking about the McRib and McDonald's bringing it back, which is a threat to Pride America, threat to size-challenged people. I've heard people, or what you call not size-contained.
We call space-contained. We are not contained in space. It sounds, to the uninitiated, it sounds very science fiction, New Agey. But what we mean is that space does not contain us. It means that, obviously, the girth and the width and the size of our bodies expands beyond what other people, what the size of other people. So when we are not space contained, or we are not size contained, we are in fact large, overweight.
Why not just say what a lot of people say, are fat?
No, we will never use that word, and it is painful for me to hear that word. And I'm very sorry that you said that, because that is a painful, painful reminder of a self-image that we have worked very hard to get rid of.
When I say the word fat, are you feeling pain?
Oh, God. It's like a wave of... The best way I can describe it is a wave of nausea.
Did you talk about fat?
Oh.
Okay, so we can't say that word.
Oh. 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 Please don't.
You cannot say that word, bud, okay?
Well, you said it.
I said it by mistake.
It's all right. I should have warned you, and I apologize.
All right, we will try to keep that word out of our...
What word? Fat.
Don't...
I don't want to hear it again.
Don't say it.
I made a mistake.
What happened?
You're not supposed to say it.
Oh. Woo! Man. Oh, man.
God.
What happened to him, man? Just because I said that word?
Don't say the word.
Please don't say it.
I'm sorry.
All right. I have to tell you, Phil, I'm so big now, nothing matters. I don't sweat. There's an old saying, don't sweat the small stuff. Well, when you're as big as me, when you're the size that I am, you sure as heck don't sweat the small stuff. You sure don't. So the McRib, as I was saying to you before I was interrupted by this man saying the word that I hope he doesn't say again.
We will not use that word again.
Is that the McRib? Is a virtual declaration of war by McDonald's on those of us that are not size contained, those of us who are not size restricted. And I am hopeful that McDonald's will see their way clear.
Otherwise, you said that people who are not size restricted or not size contained.
No, I said space contained. You're either not size restricted or you're not space contained.
What does space contained mean?
It means you're fat.
Hey!
Will you shut up, man?
Yeah!
You ain't supposed to use that word.
You asked me what it meant.
Just shut up about that word.
Hey!
What's he doing?
I don't know. It sounds disgusting, though.
Just as disgusting. It's disgusting.
What is it?
It's disgusting, you're right. When you say that word, what happens to me is disgusting. Oh, God, now I gotta get towels and everything.
Oh, my God, what are you talking about?
You don't want to know. You don't want to know. Get towels, get paper towels if you can, but just get regular bath towels.
You got it, Ed.
Oh. All right, Please, Phil, tell the men in your studio not to use that word.
Don't say the word. Don't tell me you don't know what the word is.
Please don't say it.
I know.
All right. Now, with people coming to McDonald's for the McRib, people who are members of your organization, Pride America, other dieting organizations, other organizations of people that are proud of their size and so forth, or not, as the case may be, what does this mean? Does this mean that there is a rollback?
First of all, we don't appreciate the cheap jokes. I think you're better than that, Phil.
What cheap joke are you talking about?
Rollback. All right, rollback. You talking about me being rolled back like I'm a beer barrel?
Like you're a beer?
Like I'm a beer barrel.
You're like the beer barrel.
Yeah.
No, I didn't say, no, I did not mean to make a joke.
Well, it sounded like you were making a joke. I don't appreciate the cheap attempt at humor. If you want to make an attempt at humor, Phil, put some money into it. Put some expense into it. Put some value to it, all right? Not the cheap stuff. And I never thought of you as a guy that was involved in cheap stuff, you know?
No, I'm not. What I'm saying is, what happens then? Is this going to keep your efforts from expanding?
Well, yes, because if we have people going to McDonald's for the McRib, it doesn't make any difference. I published a photograph of the McRib to members of Pride America. I published a photograph of the McRib to other groups, the McRib, before you put the barbecue sauce on it. If you see the McRib before the barbecue sauce goes on it, you'll vomit. You will vomit, and you'll probably vomit blood. I kid you not, it is, in the words of Vincent Price in The Fly, a grotesquery.
Who said that?
Vincent Price said in The Fly.
Okay, that's enough to put me off of it.
Let me tell you what, there's nothing you've ever seen in your life before or since that is as frightening as a McRib without the sauce on it. And I challenge anyone, to go into a McDonald's and say, I'd like a McRib, but first, let me see it without the sauce on it. Go ahead and take a good long look at it, and then go ahead, I dare you to order it. And to eat it. You're laughing about.
Well, I mean, so in other words, why would anybody from your organization want it?
Phil, we are not your average eater. We eat people who are in Pride America. We eat everything. We eat everything. And if you want to know the stories about cats, dogs that are missing, I'm not kidding you. We eat it.
Cats and dogs.
I'm telling you, we eat everything. Everything in the world.
Well, all right. Okay, so that doesn't work.
No, the only thing that's going to work is to speak the truth to these people and to tell them that McDonald's is declaring war on us, those of us that are not space-contained, those of us that are not size-restricted. McDonald's has declared war on us, and they won't be satisfied until all of us are begging for a McRib, are begging to eat a McRib even after we've seen it without a sauce on it.
Roland Schwinn from Pride America. We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show.
Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Anyway, welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. I asked Bud to send me the picture of the McRib because we have on the line with us here, of course, Roland Schwinn from Pride America. I want to see the picture of the McRib without the sauce. No, that doesn't help me if you guys sent it to me it doesn't. Everything needs to get here on my computer.
I sent it to the computer. I sent it by way of email.
Wrong computer, man. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to just enter in McRib. And then I'm going to enter in McRib. And then I'm going to hit images and see if we can find it. that way instead. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Here on the line with me is Mr. Schwinn from the organization Pride America, which at one time was called Blank Pride. We don't want to say that word.
Thank you very much, Phil, because we have worked so very hard to try to eliminate that word from our vocabulary, and your assistants there, the staff members there, saying it, I almost feel as if there's a little bit of maliciousness is going on.
No, sir, there's not at all. When I said fat pride, or I mean...
Oh, yeah.
Why did you do that?
I didn't mean to do it. I swear to God, I didn't mean... You know...
We were just talking about it. He didn't mean to do what we said. That's what it used to be. Fat pride was what it called.
Don't say the word! What is going on with that guy?
I don't know.
Well, I think I've been very polite.
I apologize, Roland.
Yeah, sure. I think I've been very polite. If he says it one more time, I'll come down there and I'll tear him apart.
They didn't mean to do it on purpose.
Yeah, you didn't mean to do a lot of things. People don't mean to do a lot of things, my man. But they wind up doing them anyway. And if I hear either one of you guys do it again, I'll come down there and I'll rip you apart. I'll take you apart limb by limb.
Can I ask you what happened to you just then?
The guy said the word.
No, I know he said the word, but what did you... I heard you go through...
It's very similar to... it's very similar to morphing into a werewolf. I'm not saying that that's what happens, but there is a body shift. The body doesn't change, but the internal organs shift.
You're telling me that you have weaned yourselves off of that word so thoroughly, and you have so that word has become so toxic to you that when you hear that word, you go through a physical change like somebody turning into a werewolf.
It's the physical. I'm just saying that I imagine the physical pain is similar to that which was experienced, or is, or I don't know if it exists. It probably doesn't. Experienced by those individuals who turn into werewolves. Because there's a physical, it almost feels like the cells are ripping apart.
God almighty, if I were you, and this is not, any of my business, I would definitely take another look at that word and see if you can't work it back into your vocabulary.
Work it back in. Do you understand the work we've done to get rid of it? Do you understand how what anathema that word is? Do you understand what that has done to us? How it's changed us to get rid of that word, and you want us to work it back in?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it sounds like when you hear it, you go through agony.
Yes, we do go through agony. We don't want to hear that word. We don't want that word in our vocabulary. Or in the vocabulary. In the vocabulary.
What do you say vocabulary?
Why are you saying it that way?
Because my lips are so fat, I can't say vocabulary. I can't say it the right way.
You can't say the.
No.
All right, we're looking at pictures here on our... on our network screen here on Phil TV and HD of the McRib. Now, these are the various images that came back to us in our Google search. I don't know if anybody can see this McRib right here that is standing out, but you see there's kind of a light-colored pork meat. You see how dark the McRib is when you get it, and you probably think, well, heck, that's the way it looks. But in fact, and there it is, fully garnished right there. Roland, when you look at this sandwich, what about it would you say is the standout?
I'm not looking at it. I can't. I won't look at it.
You are watching Phil TV in HD right now.
I was, until you decided that you would violate me.
I have not decided to violate you, sir.
Well, you do when you put a McRib anywhere near me on the screen. You violate me. And we are teaching members of our organization, we're teaching members of Pride America, that when they go to McDonald's and they order a McRib, they are violating themselves. They are committing a self-rape. And when you put me next to anything having to do with a big rib, see, again, I am so large and I am so not in space confined that my lips are so fat I can't say McRib.
You can't even say McRib. You were saying it a few minutes ago.
A half hour ago, yes. That was before I had the car seats.
So, in other words, you're getting fatter as... Uh-oh.
You screwed up that time.
I know. Good God.
Man, well, I don't know what's going on with that guy. It's scaring me.
What is it, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde?
He morphed.
Popeye?
I don't know whether you think it's funny, Henry.
No, I don't.
Well, I guess you think it's funny, because it's not funny to me. I'll come over there and I will take you apart. There's no problem with me at all.
I blew it. I know I blew it. I'm sorry. I said the word. I'm sorry.
Oh, God. That was a whole trip through. You wouldn't even... That was multidimensional, what happened to me.
I don't understand what this is. You guys are so frightened of that word, and it is such a toxic thing, as I said, that when you hear that word...
Yeah, we go through multidimensional changes.
You go through multidimensional changes. All I heard...
What did it sound like? Because I've never actually had it reported.
You sounded like you were changing into... It was like Dr. What do you call a guy?
Dr. Heckle.
Dr. Heckle and Mr. Jide.
Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, you... Boy, you guys are jackballs from way back.
Sorry, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Yeah.
Sounded like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, oh boy.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounded like you're right. It's like a... something's, you know, I don't know. Maybe if Dr. Jekyll were still around and he wanted to continue his experiments with evil, good and evil and all that, all he would need is to say that word, you know?
Well, he'd have to be a member of Pride America. I don't know what to think about.
And the fact that your lips are so fat that you can't say vocabulary or McRib.
No, I can't. And, oh, you just said the word fat. I guess I said it too, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. Now, what is this... I'm going to take a break, and when I come back...
I might have cured myself.
I don't think so. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Find out whether this guy is putting me on and what we're doing here talking about a McRib. I haven't found one image of McRib that looks like anything that he's describing. He said that the McRib without barbecue sauce is something that you don't even want to go near.
Look at that pig.
There's a pig picture here. Good God. Oh, there it is. Look at that. Anatomy of a McDonald's McRib, 100% boneless, 100% nauseating. Wait till you see this, folks. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth.
Look at that.
Is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
I heard you say that word.
I said my lips are full, but I can.
All right. Well, if you get sick hearing that word, we won't say that word. But I heard you say the F word.
Phil, you have on your screen right now on the Phil TV and HD pictures of the McRib, and that's what I'm talking about.
All right. So my audience has seen this. And I think what we're saying here is that the McRib is a nauseating looking thing when it is not garnished. What I'm trying to do is getting this thing in the background, I guess. I don't know. Why do I have FTP? Oh, I've got fade going on. Nonetheless, what we're trying to say here is that the McRib is a disgusting looking food.
That's exactly what we've been trying to tell people.
When it doesn't have when it doesn't have its garnishings on it.
That is exactly what I've been trying to tell people. And this nonsense about whether the idea of whether it's,
do you want to eat a McRib?
Yes, of course I want to eat a McRib. You hear how I'm getting winded because of the number of times that your staff said the word F-A-T.
Well, you said it yourself, too.
I know, but I got very winded, and yes, I do want a McRib. And that's what the danger is, Phil.
Even though it looks like that.
Even though it looks like that. Even though it looks like something that has been digested by a baby and then thrown back up. It looks like a fully digested hamburger in a baby's stomach only a baby's stomach, and then thrown back up as a kind of, almost like a Pavlov mix.
Oh, God.
God, what are you talking about?
I'm giving it back to you guys as good as you gave it to me. But the vocabulary.
And by the way, he can't say vocabulary because his lips. I won't say his lips are too thick.
Yeah, I don't want people to think it's racist. I'm a white man. But my lips are so thick because of my weight.
Right. All right, so.
The McRib, for anyone who hasn't had a McRib, when it's not covered in the throat,
Your lips are so your lips have gotten bigger and bigger as you've been eating during this hour, and now I can't understand anything you're saying.
I still don't understand. You don't?
No, I don't.
I'm doing covered UBB. Damn.
Yeah, we can't understand you, Mr. Schwinn.
Well, but
why don't you stop eating for the hour that you've been talking to us?
Are you kidding me?
I don't understand what he's saying. I will tell you this. You've made an excellent point about the McRib. I will avoid it. I know that you won't, even though it looks as vile as it does. You people with Pride America, you can't help yourselves.
That's why we're in Pride America. I can't help myself. But I say McRib. And that's why we are begging, we are pleading with McDonald to please not sell this particular food item. And help save the space confinement of so many people upon. Boo-boo.
Your words are now no longer making any sense. It sounded like you just said boo-boo. Good night. Okay, Roland Schwinn from Pride America. I didn't know it was possible, and I don't think it is. I think it's some kind of mental disease he's got.
What about that guy's lips?
I don't think anybody's lips get that much bigger as you're eating food during an hour.
Yeah, he said he ate so much food that his lips got in the way.
I'll bet you he was eating so much food that his mouth got in the way. Yeah, but it had nothing to do with the fact that he was adding, and now we can say it because he's not on the phone anymore, fat to his lips. This cat, I will tell you one thing, though, and I said it to him, and I mean it. He did a public service tonight by pointing out to us what that vile-looking sandwich looks like without any of the garnishings on it. It is an unbelievable looking mess. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445 here. Coming up, we're going to have our news and information hour. We also have Robert and Bud hanging on for that one. And some things to remind you of, including the website. Let's go over to Austin. Hey, Austin, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Comment about that McRib. I enjoy eating a McRib. I think it's a very delicious. I've never seen the McRib that man was talking about. I can tell you that.
Well, he's talking about the McRib that you eat.
He's talking about a totally different sandwich because I've never seen a McRib sandwich that looked like. He said it looked like a baby threw it up or something.
Well, I don't know if you've been online, but there are images of the McRib.
No, I don't need to go online and look at none. I'm not going to look at that. I'm not going to look at that. No way.
Well, okay, so let me ask you something. You don't want to look at it because why?
I don't want to look. I've enjoyed the McRib sandwich for as long as they've had that sandwich in 1982 when I was in high school. And I've eaten a McRib sandwich. I've enjoyed a McRib. And I'm not going to do anything that's going to ruin my enjoyment of that sandwich. And if that means I stay away from pictures of it after a baby's eating it or whatever you said. And
no, it's not after a baby's eating it. It's that it actually looks like something. According to Mr. Schwinn, the McRib sandwich looks like something a baby's already eaten and then thrown back up.
You know, that just gave me a mental image, God.
Is this Mr. Henry?
Yeah.
Mr. Henry, I told him not to call your program because it's going to make him sick.
Who is this?
My name is Mary Kay, and we're calling from Lancaster, California. That is awesome. He's my son. He's my son-in-law.
Okay. What happened to him?
He just went over and sat down. He said that you gave him a very, very vivid picture of McRib, and he said that's blown it all. It blowed it all up. For him. I told him not to get on the phone and talk to you. But he wanted to call. He loves listening to your program.
We've talked to him before in the air.
I know. My daughter's out now. Right now she's shopping. And so just him and me right here. So I said, well, turn on the radio. Make yourself feel better. And he turned it on. He heard the thing about McRib. And you said that it looked like it come out of a baby. That's what put him off. That put him off his dinner. He's not going to have no dinner now.
And well, so he was supposed to be eating dinner?
That's right. He was supposed to eat dinner. You want to have dinner now?
I don't want to touch it. I don't want to, because everything looks like it came out of a baby's rear end.
You think that everything looks like it came out of a baby's rear end?
No, that's not what I said, and that's not what Mr. Schwinn said. And not that it makes any difference. He said it looks like it was something that a baby threw up.
You hear that, Ron?
No, I didn't.
He said that it looks like something up there. And by the way, your name's Roland, right?
No, my name's Austin.
Ah, that's right. They're Austin. He said it looked like something a baby threw up.
Oh, it didn't come out of a baby's rear end.
No, it did not.
All right, well, I bet. It still makes me want to vomit, but I guess I could go over and try this soup. What kind is it?
Tortilla soup. I made it myself.
Thanks, buddy.
But anyway, I'm Mr. Marcus' mother-in-law. I'm Mary Kay. And
well, pleased to meet you, ma'am, and I'm sorry that he was sickened by the imagery that we were using, that Mr. Schwinn was using, but I think it was apt, and I think that once people do investigate this McRib sandwich, they're going to be unpleasantly surprised.
Well, I know that I've personally fed that to my children. I've never believed in fast food. I've always believed in feeding them a very wholesome meal, the vegetables, as well as, of course, I had something in the back of my throat all afternoon. Vegetable, and it.
Well, listen, thank you very, very much.
Well, I'm not done yet.
877-876-PHIL. So that's the mother-in-law, huh?
That's what she said. That's why I screened the call and put her right on through. I hope that is a good one.
Yeah, uh-huh, sure. That's great, bud.
What's wrong with it?
She's just as goofy as that son. Yeah, I hope you'll excuse me. I had something in my throat all afternoon.
She's done it in the back of her throat.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. Welcome back, anyway, folks, to reality. Thank you for those calls, bud. And again, if you do want to, you know, maintain any part of your appetite over the next few days, please do not go and see this stuff that we've been showing you, that damn McRib, I'm telling you. And to think, you know, I don't know what it is. McDonald's does make a kind of a food that in many ways one can like, one can love almost, you know. And then they come out with this McRib and it makes you want to commit suicide. It makes you lose all your faith in humanity.
Yeah, that's my point, too. I'd go to McDonald's and have a Big Mac or have a quarter pounder with cheese or anything, and I'll think, man, that's the best place I've ever been. And then I see a McRib, and I hate it. I hate it so much.
Yep, that's pretty much my read on that, man. Time for Burger King, man.
Yeah, they probably got something Burger King look like it come out of a baby.
Probably. All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. News and information now on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876. Phil
Henry.
World famous Billy Joe.